but a time. Yeah, this is tea time. Making a difference. One cup at a time. Tea time. So be sure to grab your tea, grab a seat, and tune in to Miss Liz. Tea time. Making a difference. One cup at a time.
Well, welcome to Tea Time. Yes, we are running a little late. Miss Liz just has some glitches sometimes, and we fix them. So we're here, and everything is up and running. So that's just the way life works, right? When you're doing all these virtual things, you have to just balance yourself with all the technology. So tonight I have the incredible Marcy McRae in, and she's a motivational speaker, a resilient coach, a bounce, don't break. We're going to talk about that bounce, don't break. So get your tea, grab your coffee, grab a glass of wine, whatever you feel comfortable drinking. You do not have to drink tea on Tea Time with Miss Liz. And let's get the disclaimer going, and let's get a little bit of bio on Marcy, and then we're going to spill some tea into tapping into exceptional aptitude. That's right. We're going to be doing a lot of different stuff. We're going to be bringing on a good way of serving a good bouncy tea tonight. So let's get started. So disclaimer for Miss Liz's Tea Time live show. Miss Liz, myself, is going live using StreamYard. Before leaving a comment, please grant StreamYard permission to see your name at StreamYard.com. Please be advised that the content brought forward for any Tea Time show hosted by myself, Miss Liz, is always brought forward in good faith. However, may bring forth dialogue and opinions that are not representative of my platform. The facts and information are perceived to be accurate at the given time of airing. All Tea Time guests and audience participants are responsible for using their good judgment in taking any action that may relate to the discussion. The content brought forward may include discussions for some where they may be emotionally at risk. It is significant to know that this show is engaging in discussion forums only to offer and inspire awareness and connection and is not providing therapeutic advice. If you have any questions about the disclaimer or the panelist discussion, you may freely contact me, Miss Liz, through my email at bookingmissliz@gmail.com. Moving forward, should you choose to voluntarily participate in tonight's show in any aspect, I myself, Miss Liz, welcomes you. And should you decide that the show is not made for you at this time, I respect those wishes and will see you at a later show at a later date and time. And again, all Tea Time shows are done at 3 and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Thursday. If you see a Monday or Tuesday show, it's a rescheduled Tea Time or a surprise Tea Time that Miss Liz is throwing in to keep you on your toes. So a little bit now on my guess. Marcy McRae is a published author, culinary instructor, and registered automolecular health practitioner. I'm going to get her to say the word because I don't want to butcher it. She has been helping people heal themselves ever since and coaching people to harness their resilience to overcome the challenges they face, to bounce, not break. Marcy is the author of Sheep Birds, a Modern Woman Guidebook for an Ancient Rite of Passage. And has been published in several magazines, including the VIVA, Via, Complet Mother, and Island's Child. Her stories and writing have appeared in Bearing Witness by Dr. Lisa Doran and Lisa Carson, as well as in several blogs. She is currently a re-emerging speaker with over 10,000 stages performance to her name and hundreds of workshops, presentations, and speeches under her pre-digital arrow belt. Marcy speaks on topics of importance to women, entrepreneurs, the LGBTQ community, welcoming congregations, and marginalized youths all with a focus of resilience. Let me get Margie in here. Macy in here. Macy, I don't know what's going on tonight. I can't talk. We're having technical issues. I think it was because I had a phone call come in. That's why I booted us off while we were going live. So I was just like, oh, okay. So, but I'm still going to send a report. But it's nice to have you here.
Thanks, it's
after
nice
so
here.
Many months of talking.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, we've been talking to each other for a couple of months back and forth. So now I get to have you at my table and we get to share your story. So, Marcy, I want to get into who you were as a little girl and who you are now as a grown woman.
Oh, that's an interesting way to start. Also, before we get any further, it's Marcy McCary, and it's orthomolecular. It's a long word, but people have a hard time with it. But that's, it just means right molecule for right disease. So I help people heal themselves using food and nutrition. So that's what
orthomolecular. Well, look at that. I just learned something new. Look at that.
There you go.
I said, I'm going to leave it to my guests because I don't like to butcher things. I don't like to disrespect anybody, but when I can't say something, I'm just like, I'm not doing it.
The majority of people that interview me ask me, they like rehearse it before we get on camera because they're like, what is this word? But that's okay. So who was I as a little girl? I like to think that I've retained a lot of my childlikeness still. As a child, I was very creative, very joyful, very talkative. And people who know me will say I'm all of those things still. I deeply loved connection with people. I still do. I think I'm wiser now, a little less naive, been through the ringer a few times. So I have some lessons under my belt. But I like to think that my heart is the same and that my desire to give back. I've always been I always wanted to be a missionary. I always wanted to help save animals. I was always, you know, that girl. So I think I still have that sort of nugget still in me.
Well, and as a little girl, you wanted to be a missionary and you're a speaker, you're a motivational speaker and a resilient coach. So when you hear the word resilience, Macy, what comes to mind for you?
So resilience for me means that we don't, when we fall, we don't stay at the bottom. We actually bounce up. And what I try to help people do is there's ways you can harness that fall so that you can actually leverage it to bounce higher. So where you're going, you can kind of project yourself into the next phase. I think resilience is about learning from where we've been. Everybody likes to say that everything happens for a reason. I think that's a bunch of hogwash. I think that things randomly happen and there really is no purpose except that you can make a purpose by finding a lesson. But I don't think it's done deliberately or intentionally, especially bad things. I don't think happen intentionally to people.
Marcy, I like when my guests are straightforward because that's my cup of tea, right? Is I like straightforward people and I like that you use that word hogwash because, you know, there's a lot of hogwash out there that we need to really focus in and bring a voice to. Marcy, I want to get into the books, some of the books that you wrote, and then I want to get into the bounce, don't break, because I really like that statement, bounce, don't break. So let's talk a little bit about the books that you've been in.
So I used to be a very sort of prevalent member of the natural birthing community. And so I wrote a book, which you've given the title of, and it's really about the spiritual aspects of giving birth and how it affects women when they don't have the birth that they wanted. Research has shown that when women have a desire to have a natural birth and then that's taken from them, and even if it's necessary, when they lose that opportunity, it can actually shake their foundation to the point where they don't trust their instincts as a mother. And I think that birth trauma is something that people overlook a lot when we're dealing with female needs. So that's why I wrote that book. It was many, many years ago. I'm in a different phase of life now. All my kids are at least 10 and up to 27 years old. So I'm past that phase now. But that was the first book that I published. And then I was in an anthology called Bearing Witness, where I was invited to participate in a natural birth anthology. So people submitted stories or poetry. I think I have two things in that book. Viva, Complete Mother, which is defunct now, and Island Child were all, so Viva was a natural health magazine that you can pick up at a grocery store. It was beautiful. It's in Canada, actually. And then Complete Mother, which was a natural childbirth, natural parenting magazine. They're no longer in operation, but I submitted and contributed to them quite a bit. You'll also find me quoted, like if you Google my name, I have a lot of memes and things sort of associated with natural birth. Some of the things I wrote have become sort of sayings in the birth community and mantras for strength, which I love. But yeah, so that's sort of what I did before. One of the things that I did before, I've done a lot. My friends will say, like, you know, I had a friend ask me to list all of the things I've done in my life for money or for like a side gig. And it's been like 37 different things. So I like to say that you could plunk me down pretty much anywhere and I could do whatever I needed to do, you know? So lots of variety.
Well, Marcy, that's one thing we haven't talked about much on Tea Time, or I don't hear that much, is the birthing trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, and that explains a lot, because I had my second child was a C-section, and it kind of threw me for a whole loop, and I felt disconnected to my child. So when you brought that up, I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense.
So C-sections obviously sometimes are necessary. I mean, I used to be very hard-lined about it. Like C-sections were just terrible, but now that I'm older and wiser, I know that sometimes they are actually really necessary, but they do cause trauma. I mean, you're cutting a woman open to pull out a child. The child doesn't benefit from the sort of bacteria that they would receive going through the birth canal. So a lot of people who are born by C-section have lung or digestive trouble. And the women who are recovering from this very major surgery are often treated like they should just be up and moving. And what is their big problem? They have a healthy child. But attending to the needs of the mother after the birth that has been traumatic is super important. I think it not only can cause a disconnect between you and your child, but it can also cause a disconnect between yourself and your body. Ooh. So you can struggle with connecting to your sexual, sensual self as a woman. You can have a disconnect between sort of your confidence in your body, even being able to read and plug into your body. So C-sections are very traumatic, even if they're necessary. And I'd love to see more work in supporting women after. So, yeah.
I think we need more conversations on this, because, you know, as we're talking about this tonight, I'm like sitting here as a mom who had two C-sections, and I struggled with them. And this makes a lot of sense, you know, but there's no way. I haven't heard of any support groups or anything like that that work with birth trauma. Have you?
So there are some, but they're not very mainstream, because the philosophy is sort of like, I guess it's sort of an unspoken philosophy, is that if you talk about how your C-section was traumatic or difficult or painful or something you have to actually heal from emotionally, mentally, whatever, that you're sort of denying the fact that you have a healthy baby. And that's usually the focus. Like, why are you complaining? Why are you having issues with this when you have this baby who's healthy and happy and you should just be grateful, right? And it really silences women. So yes, there are support groups. Some of the life coaching that I've done in the past has been centered around C-section trauma recovery and birth trauma recovery. I never had a C-section. I had four children. I never had a C-section. I'm very grateful for that. However, with my first baby, she was born in South Africa. And I hope this isn't TMI for your show. But
we go deep, because we serve tea and tea is deep.
Okay, awesome. They gave me a third degree episiotomy without any pain medication and without consent. So they basically cut me front to back. And the healing from that was very difficult. And my baby was only 5 pounds, 12 ounces. So there should have been zero reason for an episiotomy. But it was standard procedure in South Africa that every mother received this without any pain meds. So that was traumatic for me. And it took me a little while to recover from that. And so that's why I wrote the book, because I really felt, I've always really held the concept of a rite of passage to be very significant in my life. And I feel like North America really misses out on that a lot. We don't really have a lot of things that we do to celebrate moving into a new phase, to sort of challenge us and feel really proud of our accomplishment. And I think that we miss out on something from that. You know, there's a lot of benefits to feeling accomplished in that way. So that's why people, your friends will randomly say, hey, I jumped out of an airplane. You know, they didn't jump out of an airplane because they wanted to jump out of an airplane. They jumped out of an airplane because they wanted the sort of the adrenaline rush, and they wanted to be able to have bragging rights, right? We all yeah. need a bragging right. And so
everybody needs a brag.
we all do. And so having, I think that establishing rites of passage, you'll see like firewalking opportunities in North America now coming up. There's a lot of other things that people do to create rites of passage for themselves. And so that's why I wrote the book, that birth is really a rite of passage. And when that is usurped by medical intervention or necessity, the loss of that can be significant. So.
Well, and we're going to be bouncing and not breaking, don't break tonight. we're going to take it all over. So I want to just take it back a little bit, Marcy. I want to go back to South America. Were you born and raised in South America?
South Africa. No, I actually went there as a missionary. And then I came out of the closet and I was dumped by the ministry in South Africa. And so I was actually there for a little longer than I anticipated. But it's a beautiful country. I love the people. But I was there for a little over 5 years. So yeah, I loved it.
So I want to get into some of the comments that we're getting on Instagram. I can't get them into the studio, but I'm just going to read them out. We have Torzine, who was also a Tea Time guest in season one. He says, this is very educational. Thanks for sharing this important information. Then we have Exceptional Joy, Nancy Nance, who was also a Tea Time guest. She's here and she's saying, thank you for sharing this important discussion. And Conquering Fear is fabulous. And in Torzine, what supportive measures can a partner provide to his woman during this period is a question for you.
I'm assuming they mean post-birth would be my guess. Is that, do you think that that's what they're referring to? So I think the most important thing, I think, for a woman who has just given birth is that the community around her honors her and the journey that she's taken rather than just automatically focusing on the baby. Because while the baby is sort of inside the mom, everybody's focused sort of on the mom, right? It's like, oh, you glow, you're beautiful. Let me rub your feet. Let me rub your shoulders. But as soon as the baby comes, the mom becomes invisible. And if she's dealing with birth trauma on top of that, it can be really difficult. I know that there's like it's pretty new to me. I mean, it's probably been around for a while, but I know this thing about push presents is sort of a thing now, where after you give birth, your partner's supposed to give you a gift. And it's usually a significant gift. And I think it's poorly done, but I think it is a way, it's like a way our culture is trying to honor the mom. I think more helpful would be just like gathering around the mother and supporting her with meals she doesn't have to cook and laundry she doesn't have to do. And, you know, looking at her, talking to her, how is she doing? I think it's really important to not pass over the mom when she's just given birth.
And I've never heard of this post present. I'm learning so much tonight. And my guests and listeners are learning so much as well. Again, Instagram comments are coming in. I'm going to just flip from screen to screen. You won't even see me doing that, Marcy. Right. But I think that having past Tea Time guests coming in and supporting a fellow Tea Time guest, I really appreciate that. So I want to thank you guys for doing that. I want to get into the bounce, don't break, because I like that statement. But what does it mean, bounce, don't break?
So when I was actually coming up with a name for my business, I actually started with the concept of you are not a vase, you are a ball. You are not porcelain, you are rubber. Like I was trying to come up with a concept that said, just because you fall doesn't mean you shatter, right? That's just the beginning of the next step, which is the bounce. So bounce don't break simply means that you fall, you hit bottom, but you don't stop there. That's just the jumping off point, the bouncing point, right? So that's how I came up with that.
You know, when I seen that statement, when you sent me your information, Marcy, I thought of these little rubber balls, you know, the little rubber balls we played with in the 80s and we just bounced and they did boom, 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 all over. Yeah. That's what I thought of when it said bounce, don't break, because you throw the ball doesn't break. It just bounces.
Yeah, right? That's absolutely correct.
So that's kind of like how life is, right?
It can be. And I think that one of the things that I'm working to do is to help particularly women be able to harness that bounce and direct themselves somewhere. So it's not sort of chaotic and just going everywhere. So there are some tips and things that I give people in my coaching and in the speaking that I do that will help people to realize they're in a fall and then be able to harness it to go in the direction they would like to go rather than just hoping they land somewhere good, right?
Well, especially when we hear the fall part, right? We always think when we fall, we're going to break. And it's like you said, we don't need to break all the time. We can fall and still get up. We don't have to have that crack in us. You know, sometimes when you drop a cup or something or a plate, it doesn't break.
Correct. And
it
also
depends on the fall, right?
If you think of the ball, when it hits the ground, have you ever watched a ball hit the ground in slow motion? So it kind of flattens out a little bit and there's a pause. There's a quiet, there's a hush before the next phase, which is the jumping, the bouncing up and the expanding again to be able to propel itself somewhere. And I think that sometimes when people fall, they land and that hush, that quiet, they don't realize that there's more to come and they get discouraged. They feel stuck and they don't know what's next for them. And every situation is obviously different. Every set of circumstances is different. But that image is really strong because if you can remember that we are made to bounce, that hush before the bounce is actually a great period of time to prepare yourself and to get ready to propel yourself where you need to go.
I like that. I like the hush. We all need a hush.
Preach it. Preach it. We definitely do.
So I'm going to take you another way. We're going to bounce tonight. I found that you made greeting cards as a single mom. Mm-hmm. And this afternoon we had Memory Graham on who makes legacy books. And I just felt that you guys connected. The universe put you guys together, my guests together. So tell us a little bit about these greeting cards.
Okay, so I did it twice in my life because I'm a writer by trade. That's really my biggest passion and love. And so when I was in South Africa, I hit my mic. This is a new mic and I keep forgetting that it's attached to my clothes. I was in South Africa and obviously I was stranded and I needed to be able to provide for myself and my 14-month-old baby. So I hand painted with watercolor greeting cards and I would write original words on them, poems or sayings. And then I would sell them or trade them at the farmer's market. The first time I went to the farmer's market was really beautiful because I had learned how to wrap my baby on my back with a towel, like the African ladies do. So I had wrapped her on the top my back and, you know, pinned it the way they do. And I had my greeting cards in my hands and I went to the market and there was like no place for me, but there was these beautiful, like bright fabrics laid out. And then all these artisans with their carvings and their basket weavings and their jewelry, they're just sort of lined up in these beautiful headdresses and all the bright colors, you know? And I kind of was looking around and I hear, come. And they like pat the ground, you know, and they scooch their things over and they made space for me and my daughter. And it was just a really beautiful connection because I was made to be one of them, even though I was very much not, right? They welcomed me in and they made it a warm and safe place for me. So that was a beautiful experience. Then I moved back to Buffalo a few years later. I'm in New York. Buffalo, New York. And I started a company called Healing Art Design Works, where I took greeting cards, watercolor colors that corresponded with the chakras. And then on the color wheel, an artist color wheel, I would take the opposite color for the chakra color. And I would paint with both of those colors in different patterns and kind of movement on the paper. And they were intended to be meditation cards to balance your chakra energy. So it was actually quite well liked and it did very well for a while. And then I just moved on to something else. I'm a bit of a bumblebee. I flit. So yeah. So
you're a bouncer, right?
I am. Yeah, for sure.
And you know, for the listeners out there and the audience that's listening in, we're getting a couple more comments. So I just want to share them with you about Nancy Nance has said, mama care is very important after birth. Love and support reduces postpartum. Postpartum syndromes can be reduced with support from family, friends, and supportive energy workers. And yeah. Torzine said, amazing.
Wonderful.
So we really don't talk about birthing trauma and postpartum depression and that as well. And womanhood. We don't really speak about womanhood. Mm-hmm. We talk about being women, but we don't talk about the womanhood.
Yes, or about our feminine, the divine feminine. So I feel our culture is really focused on equality, which I'm a feminist. I'm thoroughly all about equal, you know, equal access, equal rights, all of that. Equal pay, for the love of God, can women get please get paid equally? But
right.
But
I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but yeah. You know, we got to keep trying.
But women are not men. Men are not women. And we have differences on purpose. And I feel like a lot of the gifts and the beautiful things that women bring to the world are often overlooked because we're trying so hard to be equal that we start to emulate masculine traits. We start to think that if we're going to be a boss babe, we have to be rough and like unmoving and like non-negotiating and, you know, but female energy is actually a welcoming energy. So the best way for us to harness our energy is to make space for welcoming people in and for calling them into our plan, our energy, our vision, rather than trying to force them, right? It's better to like, you know, seduce, so to speak. Yeah. seduce people over to our side.
So I want to get into your story on how you mentioned a little earlier about being removed from the missionary because you came out about being lesbian.
Correct.
How did that affect your life, Marcy?
Oh, well, I was stranded because they wouldn't fly me home and they refused to renew my work visa, which meant I couldn't leave the country and I couldn't work in the country. It affected my life in a lot of ways because I think it really made me take a hard look at the belief system I had been holding for so long. I've walked away from Christianity for that reason. I'm open to that which is greater than us. I believe definitely in something greater than us. And I just don't like to put the label to it because I think it's dangerous to try to define something that is, everybody has their own sort of vision about it, their own viewpoint on it. Have you ever heard of the parable of the blind men and the elephant?
I've heard a little bit about it, yeah.
Do you mind if I share it really quickly?
Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead.
So this is actually how I believe about God. So there was an elephant and there were five blind wise men and they were all surrounding the elephant and they were asked to describe what an elephant is, what they look like. And one man said, oh, they're long and wavy and thin and they move like a butterfly wings, right? Then another one said, no, it's short and it's kind of whippy and has a little bit of a furry thing at the end. And no, an elephant is actually very long and very wrinkly. Like they all had their own version of the description of the elephant. Because you can only access a part of something that's so big, right? And that's sort of how I feel about God or anything really spiritual. I think that every kind of religion, every belief system, and every human, we have our own little portion, which is true. It is a truth, but it isn't the whole truth. And we can't know the whole truth because we're not intended to. We're intended to see it, spirit, God, as a mystery. It's our intention to seek it, to learn about it, to delve into it. If we had the whole secret answer, you know, then I think that life would be boring. And I think that too many people, there's too many lives lost. There's too many families broken up. There's too many hearts broken because a person or a group of people believe that they have the whole truth and nobody does. anyway, that's my little.
No, and I'm glad that we're bringing this up, because these are conversations we need to be bringing to the table, right? It's conversations that everybody want to hear. That's what you hear on Tea Time. You, Miss Liz, brings those conversations to the table.
I love that.
Because we need these real and raw conversations of the, you know, not, for me, myself, I've walked away from Christianity as well because of so much enforcement. You can't do this. You can't do that. If you do this, you're sinning. You're doing this. Yeah. I feel that they're the biggest judges out there. I believe in God. I just don't believe in the religion, because the religion, it feels like it's being enforced. It's telling you who to be and what to be and when you should do this and when you should do that and all of that. And I've tried many different religions, and I'm just like, it's not for me. I'm more on a spiritual journey than I am on a religious journey. And I think a lot of us get pulled to the spiritual side because we're getting so judged on the religious side. It doesn't mean that we don't believe in God.
Well, creativity and the multidimensional aspects of us being human, we can't really thrive in an environment that is so like rigid, right? We need something that is expansive and will move with us. Otherwise, we have to break out of that mold and move into something else. And spirituality, which is a big umbrella, it's an opportunity for people to be in the presence of the divine without those constructs, right? Which is why a lot of people find themselves under that umbrella.
Yeah. So we have a couple more comments here. I just want to bring them up. For the women's pay, we will be paid more as we continue to heal our soul wounds. Forced compliance is unacceptable. Feminist energy is beauty, which is all of us, both men and women. And dogma is dangerous.
Dogma is definitely dangerous. Yeah. Agreed.
And it's something we don't talk about, right? And I feel like we're on this balance thing, right? This balance scale of, if you do this, then you rise. If you do this, then you fall, you know? And it's more of the ones that are falling and bouncing, like back to the bounce, don't break. It's the ones that are bouncing from that fall that are rising. Because we're opening up the mind, right? We're having that open conversation saying, but why? Why do you feel this way? Why do you think that it makes me less of a person if I do this, or my sexuality is this way? You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm still a human being at the end of the day. And I think that's where we have lost ourselves. So
I agree.
Marcy, do you speak?
Sorry, we have a delay.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say that one of the things that I find really frustrating is that a lot of Christians will say, well, you know, love the sinner, but hate the sin. So I can love you as a gay woman, but I can't love the fact that you're gay, and I can't accept that. And the problem with that philosophy, the way that they are sort of expressing that, is that they are basically saying, you are sinning, and we don't agree that the person that you love can be a sort of divinely appointed connection. So we're going to basically say you have to hide it. You have to not be your full self around us, and then we will accept you. Then we will like you. Then we will, you know, make you a part of our group. And I think that a lot of Christians use that to stand. It's sort of a way to hide behind. They want to hide that they're being judgmental, but what they're doing is still creating a secondary, like, level for the humans in their life. Like, you're not able to be one of us. You can be one of these people below us. So, and actually, I did this. You'll find this interesting. I lived in Canada for 22 years. There's a chance I may move back in the near future, which would be really great. But I actually called around to a variety of different churches, and basically I asked them a few questions, like, are you a welcoming church to those in the LGBTQ community? And what do you mean by welcoming? Am I allowed to sing in your band? Am I allowed to teach your children? Am I allowed to teach, you know, Sunday school, right? Like, so I found the majority of people, unless they were a congregation, unless they were a denomination that was specifically LGBTQ, like Unity and Unitarian Universalist are generally always LGBTQ friendly. And UCC a lot are too, but a lot of other denominations will say, yes, oh no, everybody's welcome. But you can't practice homosexuality. You either have to be celibate, or if you have a partner, then you're not allowed to participate in the life of the church. So it was a very interesting and eye-opening exercise for me.
Yeah, really eye-opening as well. You know, and we're bouncing all over tonight, and it just goes with bounce, don't break. So let's get into the bounce, don't break, because you just opened up a new group just before we went. It's a couple of days old. So let's talk about that a little bit, and let's get that group out there for anybody that's interested in joining in.
Sure. So, sorry, I have a hair in my mouth. It's a Facebook group, and I forgot the entire title. I think it's Resilient Women Learning to Be Resilient or something like that. And but you can find it under Bounce Don't Break on Facebook. It's listed on the Bounce Don't Break page. It's brand new, like literally 2 days. So it has very few people, if any. And so it's new. But my intention for that group is that when you come to join, you have to enter your email, and I'll be giving everybody who joins a free little something. And then I'll be actually interacting with the people in my group, offering them discounts on courses that I'll be, putting out, telling them where I'm speaking if they'd like to come. When my book is ready to publish, they'll be able to purchase, you know, early copies, those kinds of perks and things. So it'll be a great group for people to join.
So is this group open only to women, or is it open to
It's both? Only open to women, because that's the group that I'm focusing on. And men are great in their own way, but I really have a heart for helping women to be resilient. And so that's where my focus.
Well, and that's okay, right? We have groups for men. We have groups for women. Sometimes we don't need to be together. We need our right. own space yep. in order to open up, and sometimes the mixing and matching kind of blocks people from opening up.
Yeah.
And I'm going to go into your tea now, tapping into our real selves. You know, when we mix and match, sometimes we don't tap into our full potential. So I want to get into your tea, because you gave me tapping into, and I think that's really cool, because I've never had the tapping into, and I like when my guests kind of throw. Let's talk about that tapping into for a bit.
So I think it was tapping into extraordinary aptitude. Is that what I chose
yes.
for my tea?
Yes.
Okay. So yeah, so really it's about, being able to knowing how to bounce and then tapping into your ability to do that. So an aptitude is like your, that you're good at it, right? So having extraordinary aptitude at being able to be resilient. So that's kind of where I was going with that. That was an interesting exercise to do that. It was tricky.
Yeah, a lot of people, when they say, Miss Liz, what are you doing with this tea? And I'm just like, I want you guys to express yourselves through words, because we all have a tea. We all have it within us. And storytelling is very simple. You know, we can use words to express our stories, and we can start a conversation with three little words and sure. open up the door of wonders of understanding someone on why they do this and the purpose behind everything. You know, and you talk about a lot of the chakra and womanhood and birthing and that. So I want to dig a little deeper into that, because I want to tap into that a little more, because I don't have conversations. I don't have this woman to woman conversation. Yes, we have males that are watching right now that are going to probably pick up a bit of tools and tips to understand this a little bit, you know? So I want to get into that tapping into our real womanhood with you, Marcy.
Okay. Where do you want me to go with that?
I want you to dig deep, and I want it to come from you, because you're the one that has all the birthing experience and all of that. And I'm learning from you tonight. You're teaching me tonight.
So again, the birthing community work that I did was more than 20 years ago. So it's not really a part of what I'm doing currently, but I do sort of retain the belief about women's strength, feminine energy being necessary to the healing of the world. I believe that women have a divine purpose, and that especially the younger generations, have lost sight of the beauty and the strength that can be found in femininity. I feel like there's a lot of women who are lost right now, because feminism has done us a bit of a disservice in some ways, in that, you know, we have been told that to be feminine means that we have to look a certain way or behave a certain way, and that those who don't fit into that box are therefore not female or not feminine. And in the LGBTQ community, you'll see a wide range of feminine energy expressed. Some are, you know, a balance between masculine and feminine, but they're still women. Some are very feminine. You know, I consider myself a high femme, which means I'm the girliest of girls. And I love that. I used to be more tomboyish when I was younger, but I feel really comfortable where I am now. And I think that some of the things that are happening to women, the increase in deaths by male partners, the sexual assault increases, the domestic violence increases. I think it's a warning to women that we need to come together. And this is the time to be forming, you know, our own spaces. It's a time to be electing officials that will vote the way we need them to vote. You know, our rights are being chipped away. Not only have we lost abortion rights, but they're also talking about removing contraception rights, which means everything from condoms to birth control pills could be outlawed. They're thinking of removing women's right to vote. They're thinking of removing the ability to get out of a marriage. So once you're married, you do not have the right to divorce. And so I'm seeing these things as a warning that our feminine energy, our feminine strength has been taken for granted. And we've lost some of the keys to the wisdom that our mother's mother's mother, had. And so I think that bringing back some of those things about strength and joy as a strength, as like a power. And also one of the things that I teach is, especially women tend to be very multifaceted. So, you know, I may do one thing today, but I can do five other things, because women are so good at having, right? We're all good at having multiple irons in the fire, multiple interests, multiple talents. And I feel like, you know, it's really important to say, like, when you reach an end to something, you can reinvent yourself. It's never too late to start over. It's never too late to be a different version of yourself. And it doesn't make you flaky or unable to commit. You know, it just means that you're embracing all that you are. And I think that's something that women have lost sight of. We've become very multidimensional. You're either a career woman or you're a full-time mother. And neither is acceptable to any group. Everybody's always like, you can't do that because of this reason, or you can't be that because of this reason. And I think that the power to choose in all areas of our life, we'll lose that if we don't start exercising it more, in a bigger way.
So. Yeah. And actually use the wisdom, you know. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have a lot of voice out there, but we don't have a lot of change.
Correct.
Yeah. We have, you know, we have a lot of shouting going on, but we don't have a lot of walking going on. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of people speaking on change and empowerment and stuff like that, but we're not actually moving forward with change, because we've lost the wisdom. We've lost what our ancestors have shown us because it's so noisy inside, right? You're in this box, you're in that box, you're in that box, we're being put into all these different boxes that we're losing the wisdom of who we are as a woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Finding a community of women and participating with them in the way that is vulnerable and honest, where we share the not so great parts of ourselves, so that the other women can identify with them and we can be stronger for it, is something I think we need more of. And that's part of what I'll be doing in my group, is really honest check-ins with the people who are a member of my group, so that we can all support one another in a very real and vulnerable way.
One thing I want to ask you, Marcy, there's so many groups out there. There's so many womanhood groups out there, right? Mm-hmm. How about we all like start to work together? And I find that there's so much division. There's so much confusion because my group is this, my group is that, and my group is, you know what I mean? Instead of supporting a sisterhood, we're losing that as well. So and I love the word resilience, because there's so many resilient women out there that don't even know that they're full of resilience.
Correct. Yeah, for sure.
Because they've lost their way. They've lost the wisdom of understanding themselves as a woman because of society and programming and taking our choices away as a woman, you know?
Yeah.
So how do you feel about that?
I think that resilience is built into every human, male and female. But I think that the way that women are resilient is different from the way that men are resilient. And while I don't have a desire to be sort of divisive with other groups of women, I think that having a focus and a goal, and having women in your group who are also focused on that same goal, is a very powerful tool. And sometimes, you know, there are a lot of groups that I'm not really interested in. Like, they're either too shallow or their agenda is not something I want to sign up for. And so I think having different groups is important, because we're all very different people and there's so many people in the world, right? But yeah, I would love to see a place where everybody, regardless of their religious beliefs, their sexual orientation or beliefs about it, their, you know, financial status, their, you know, their skin color, everybody can just sort of, all the women can come together and work for the higher good. But the chance of that happening is very slim until we can start to speak each other's language and put those things aside. And until that's possible, I think that having goals that will build a community of women and strengthen them, even if they're separate from the other groups, is important. You got to start somewhere.
Right. It's coming together. It's like you said, we need to come together. You know, there's so many boxes out there. We got to just take the boxes out and we just got to learn to come together. Yes. You know, our ancestors, are the women before us, our great grandmothers and our great great grandmothers and great grandmothers, they had that sisterhood, you know. And I think it had a lot to do with food.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, food is something that I do a lot of. And I've experienced some really interesting moments with food in different cultures. But food is a part of it. Ceremony, ritual is another part of it. Women in a lot of cultures have been the holders of the connection to God, because we are the ones who create life. I don't know if you ever heard that phrase. There's a phrase I love. I can't remember who said it. I wish I'm going to have to Google it, but they say women bleed, but they do not die. And that's really, it's a sentence that's always really stuck with me. I mean, we understand scientifically why we're bleeding, but I do think it's very interesting that women are the, like we do, we give off blood every month, and it doesn't weaken us and it doesn't make us die. And I think that's kind of a really interesting concept. You know, we really are resilient even month to month. And I think that that sort of is proof that we're designed to be resilient in a different way than men are.
I'm kind of glad that you went in that door and opened that door, because menstrual cycle for a woman is strength. You know, we lose this blood, you know. But society has put the stigma on menstrual, especially in some cultures, it is looked down on, you know. So what message do you have for the women out there that are going through those experiences where, you know, they're told they're less of a woman because they're bleeding or.
Well, I mean, that's just ridiculous. If they're not, if it's kind of like, it's not only about the menstrual blood, it's about women's bodies, right? Because if we can shame 11, 12, 13 year old girls into being ashamed of what is a natural part of their femininity, we can keep them from fully expressing themselves as women. So I think that, like, my daughter has not yet reached age of menstruation yet. But when she does, I'll be putting together a moon box for her with a bunch of different kinds of products and celebrating her coming into womanhood. When my oldest daughter started her menses, we did a ceremony for her and she got a goddess name and she got celebrated by all the women in the family. And I'd like to do something similar for my young daughter.
I think that's really incredible what you just said, because we don't celebrate the girls, you know, in today's society. We're just like, you know, here's your pad, put it on. Like, you know, for me, I started very young because of sexual abuse. I started at the age of 7. So I honestly thought I was dying. You know, I wasn't prepared at all. There was no conversation. Nobody else at that age was having menstrual cycles. So there was a lot of trauma there. There was a lot of fear.
Your body was trying to. How can we help?
Right? And how can we close the fear through menstrual cycle? Because there's a lot of fear on menstrual cycle.
I mean, obviously, basic education is important. If a girl understands what's happening with her body, that really helps. But I think as far as the shame, that which is a different kind of fear, I think that helping them to understand that without it, we cannot be the bearers of life. And I think that that's a really important aspect for them to realize. It's a good thing. Like, it's a positive. It might be an inconvenient positive, but it is absolutely a positive thing. And with all of the different menstrual products available now, finding something that feels good for the person is really easy. I mean, there's so many options. We have a wide variety now, so that's really good too.
Well, I want to get into, before we wrap it up, because we're almost done here almost at the hour here, I want to get into the colors, because chakra has color, menstrual cycle has color.
I don't even remember.
Womanhood has color, right? And all different colors and energies. So I want to get into the colors that you gave me, because I asked you what your favorite colors were, and you gave me teal and blue. So why those two colors?
Because they remind me of peacock feathers, and peacock feathers are my favorite bird. So I love the way that a peacock can seem so demure, and then all of a sudden they have this beautiful plumage, right? Like, I think that it just reminds me that nature is full of wonder and beauty, and I don't know, I just have always loved peacocks. And I think too, those colors speak to like water, they speak to sky, like they just feel like nature to me, those colors. I don't know, they always have. They've been my favorite colors since I was probably 6. Like, I just always loved them. I wear them a lot. I do a lot of decorating with them in my house. Yeah, I feel really good with them.
Well, and I see a blue in the back here. I see a blue curtain, so.
Exactly.
So what message would you have for all the ladies out there tonight?
I think that we've bounced around a lot, as you said, but I think that if I was going to just sort of bring it back to where I am today and the work that I'm doing today, I would say that as we all have different challenges, whether it's health or relationship or finances or employment, we can choose to let those things keep us from moving forward, or we can choose to harness the difficulties and learn to bounce higher. I would encourage women to connect with me if they're looking for tips on how to be resilient to really trust that those things are innately a part of who we are as women. And my job is to really help you tap into it, because it's been there all along. And that it's never too late to start over.
Well, I really, really appreciate this conversation. And we did bounce around, you know, and bounce don't break. I think it was a perfect night to do it, right? Because we had that bounce don't break, and we threw a lot of bouncy balls out there with a lot of education out there and a lot of information out there, you know? And I think that sometimes we need that education. We need that open conversation, and we need to dig a little deeper. We need to tap into ourselves. Mm-hmm. So I have a question here from a viewer, and they want to know what your favorite chakra color is.
Favorite chakra color? Well, I'm a real fan of the root chakra, and I believe that's red. But it's been a long time since I've done that work, so I'm not even entirely sure. But I think that the root chakra, which would be the base of our spine, it's where all of our kundalini energy is. So all of our sensual, powerful, like money energy, all of the power centers come from our base chakra or root chakra. So I think that that's probably the place that I would start, you know, being something that I enjoy focusing on.
Well, and I think the root is like the motherhood, right? The womanhood.
Yep, right around your womb area. Creativity, life, birth, money, sex, all of it. All the good stuff.
Which makes a lot of sense. So for any of the books that we talked about earlier in the show, where can they find these books? Can they find them on your website, on Amazon? Where can they find these books?
So She Births is on Amazon. The book that I'm working on now, is not yet totally sure of a title, but it's coming. And that book will be hopefully released by the end of the summer. That's my goal, is to have it written and ready to go. And being a part of my page or my group is the best way to see that announcement when it's ready.
So, and Marcy, do you want to just share your website and spell it out for all the audio listeners so they can check you out?
Sure. It's bouncedon'tbreak.com. So it's www.bounce, B-O-U-N-C-E, don't, without an apostrophe, and then break, BREAK.com.
Awesome. And I really had an enjoyable time sitting and talking with you. You know, thanks. We need these woman-to-woman conversations. And sometimes glitches is just like womanhood, right? Just like motherhood. We have these ups and downs. We go, you know, in and out. So I really want to just thank you. I think the good old universe is just playing and seeing how far we would really take the tea time and go deep in that. So I really want to just thank you. And before we wrap up, I just want to quickly talk about food just before we wrap up. So you work with food, right? And you said the ceremonies and food. So what ceremonies and food can we bring into our lives to tap into our womanhood a little bit more?
So no, I think our lines got a little bit crossed. So I'm an orthomolecular health practitioner. So I help people heal themselves using nutrition and like supplements and food, basically. But as far as food, like I actually teach people with developmental disabilities how to cook. And I used to be a personal chef, and I owned a bakery that was gluten-free, sugar-free for a really long time. And so I've always been in food, but I was just speaking about experiences I've had in South Africa in different like cultural settings. The food experiences were very different than North America. So that's a lot of different stories, but we'll have to do that another time.
Yeah. And that's what I mean. Like I wanted to end up on that conversation because I do want to bring you back, because I want to talk about more on womanhood and food and that. This is a conversation I think that needs to be more at the table. We have a lot of people that are engaging in the conversation tonight and they're asking for more. So that's why I pushed that last question out there. But if you'd like to know more about Marcy, check out www.don'tbreak.com. If you'd like to see Marcy's tea time, you can go to Miss Liz's website at www.missliz'steatime.com. And we'll be back here next Thursday, same time, same place, serving two teas. But before Thursday comes, on the 22nd, we're going to have a returning guest that's coming back. He has a new book coming out. So Marklin J. Johnson will be joining us, and he'll be sharing about his book as well. So we'll be talking about racism and all of that stuff. So Miss Liz touches on those hard topics that need to be touched on. So until then, I want to wish everybody a good weekend. Stay safe and have conversations like these, because I think they're deeply important to have them. You don't need a tea time to talk about them. Let's just pour the tea wherever we are, and let's have some good old woman conversations going on. So again, I'll see everybody on the 22nd, and then on the 24th, I believe it is, or 25th for the last two. And we'll be talking about Parkinson's on the 25th, and we're going to be talking about the IGNA series, where we have Charles and Roxy joining us back for the second time. So lots of persons, so join Miss Liz for all of those on Thursday.